This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Frame. Mother's Day is almost here. What are you getting her? Something that shows you care. Something that makes her feel loved. Something that won't stress you out. Something like the Skylight Frame. The Skylight Frame is the perfect gift. It's a touchscreen photo frame your whole family can upload photos to, from wherever they are in the world. It's a way to share with her all the moments that matter. It sets up in seconds. You can even make sure that it's already loaded with photos when your mom opens her Mother's Day gift. And her Skylight Frame can hold thousands of the treasured photos you share. It's an easy, heartfelt way for mom to stay connected with those who matter most. It really is the perfect gift. Now, as a special Mother's Day offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightframe.com/easy.
Hey, everybody, welcome. And thank you for listening to this episode of Marriage Therapy Radio. My name is Zach Brittle. I'm here with Laura Heck. This is our last podcast of 2022. I just want to thank you for hanging out with us this year. We got a lot of questions. We had a great fantasy football season. We got to do a ton of interviews. We have a lot of very exciting chats coming up with some experts in the new year. We'll look forward to sharing that with you once we're all back in the saddle. For now, we're just trying to answer a bunch of your questions. We had a pretty full inbox of people with questions and concerns and thoughts and ideas. So Laura and I bat them around today and hope that we get to yours. If we don't, feel free to send us a message at any time at info@marriagetherapyradio.com or at the Instagram. If you're not following us on Instagram, please do that because, I don't know, that's a fun thing to do. In the meantime, I will wish you a happy new year. This is a very cool conversation. Stick around. How was your Christmas?
We all know that it is not. It is December 8th right now that we are recording this episode, but it's going to come out after Christmas. Yeah,
it is. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, mine was nice. Thank you.
Oh, let me tell you what I'm doing. I'm so excited. You know, I love to cook. Mm-hmm. I'm going to make a prime rib for the very first time. Okay. And one of my thoughts about this cracks me up. This is maybe the reason why I thought I was something on the Enneagram is not only do I want to make a prime rib, but then I'm like, hey, you know what I'll do? We're members of the club. The club has a restaurant. They have prime rib Wednesdays. Why don't I contact them and I ask if I can hang out in their kitchen and watch them prepare their prime rib so I can get a tutorial on how to do it before Christmas dinner.
I love it.
But that's not where Laura Heck ends. Then my mind goes to, wow, wouldn't it be a great promotional thing for the club if I recorded this and it was sort of like a cooking show about how to prepare your prime rib, and then it would get pushed through all their social media and it'd just be a really great way to engage with their audience. I can't just decide that I'm going to figure out how to cook a prime rib from looking at a, you know, it just like goes and goes and goes, next thing, next thing. So just wait. I will let you know
how
to cook.
What did they say? Did you ask them? Because I bet they said no.
No, they're going to say yes.
Oh.
They're going to.
Okay. Good for
you. I'm going to make it.
Great. Phew. I'm sure they don't have any insurance concerns about you just standing around with a video camera while you're trying to.
Oh, I think it is such a great idea.
It is
my
a great
husband
idea.
Is so beloved in like he could do no wrong.
I think it's
at the
a great
club.
Idea.
So having me engage, they'll be like, we didn't know he had a wife. I'm like, yeah, I know. Yeah. I didn't know that I had a husband either. Yeah. He's great. Yeah. He's always here. Okay. So
yeah.
That's how Christmas was.
We're going to I hope Christmas was amazing. Ask me again, because we're going home for the first time. We're going to Virginia for like a week. And
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
This is your question that you developed.
Okay.
But if you're on your flight home from Virginia and you're looking over at your wife and you're like, man, that was amazing. Yeah. What is the thing? What's the story you're going to tell people?
Yeah.
When I ask you on the podcast, how was your Christmas?
Yeah. That's a great question. I mean, it is a great question. And I thank you for asking it. I think for me, it has something, a lot to do with rest and connection. I have planned a lot of things because I want to see people and I want to do things and I want to hang out and I want to avoid certain pitfalls. So I've put the guardrails up to make sure that we are not going to fall into some like predictable traps, but I really also just want to rest and feel like, my family was cared for. And that includes me caring for my family, but also my family caring for me. So it, I don't know. That's a good question. I like it. And
well, it's because it's your question.
Well, no, I like that you asked me that. It's like, I was like, yeah, I think I need to answer my own question sometimes. Uh-huh. And it feels good that, and I think, you know, this episode is coming out like right before the end of the year. And I think it's a good question to ask right now about next year. Like if you guys get to the end of next year, what has happened for you? What does 2023 represent? Yours is like your 2022 was competition or something. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, it was. And this is the first year that I think I've actually stuck to, because people make resolutions, but you said just pick one word that is going to represent what your intention
a theme
is.
Or a focus.
And,
yeah.
Right. And I stuck with it, and I totally have, which I don't think I ever shared with you. I went down to Tucson to do my bike race.
Mm-hmm. I think it's pronounced Tucson. Yeah.
It is not Tucson. That's how it's spelled. It's Tucson.
Yes, I know. I'm hilarious.
So it's a century bike ride. I went down there to compete, and I didn't tell you how it went.
How did it go?
I finished 44 miles, something like that.
Of 100. Ooh.
Of 100.
How do you feel
about
that?
I did not finish the race. Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Wah, wah. So did I not tell you about
this?
No,
we haven't talked about it because we hadn't talked about it for like a whole month.
Yeah, I know. So I went to compete. This is something that I did not really train for this. I got my new bike.
That helps.
At the beginning of fall. Yeah. It's an amazing bike. It is like
you got fitted for
so
your bike.
Cool. It's an electronic shifter. Do you know what that is?
Sure. Yeah.
So like if I don't charge my bike up, then I can't shift. Mm. And anyway, that wasn't the problem. The problem is that somewhere on the race about mile 20, I was like, man, I'm really uncomfortable. My saddle, my seat is really uncomfortable, my butt. Mm. And I've never had this feeling before. And I kept thinking, you know, this is an amateur move. A lot of people say that if they haven't been riding a long time, they get chafy and it's uncomfortable. This was not chafing. Mm. This was sharp pains in my lady parts, like where my body meets the seat. There were sharp pains. And I got to the point where I was standing up while riding. And I kept thinking to myself, how long can I sustain this? And is it worth it? Because I have more training that I need to do right after this race. I go actually into like my Ironman training. Mm-hmm. And so contacted my husband, texted him, said, I don't know what's going on. Something's happening. My seat, blah, blah, blah. So he says, I'm going to come and get you. And so we agreed, great. Come and get me at this check off mark point, whatever. I did the majority of my climbing and then he picked me up. So I felt great. It was a good ride. Get home. My buddy who finished the fastest he has ever done a century and he's been riding, I think we decided with his cumulative number of hours on the bike, he has ridden around the world like 7 times. So he has a lot of miles and awareness. He looks at my bike immediately and my seat is tilted up. And I don't know if you know that, but that's like not a good situation.
Yeah.
Not helpful. He was able to eyeball it. And I don't know. I mean, it's an amateur move. I was like, I don't know what my seat was supposed to look like. This is just how I got my bike. So somewhere in transportation, it got tilted up. I was riding on what they call soft tissue, which is a really nice way of saying I was riding on my labia. Mm-hmm. So it's a really good thing that I pulled out because that could have caused some significant damage.
Sorry.
Pain. I know. Bummed out.
Yeah.
But yes, I needed to talk about myself for a second. That was a solid 4 minutes of me talking about myself and my bike ride. But yes, this was the year of competition.
Yeah.
In case you were wondering how we got on this subject.
Thinking about your buddy and him riding around the world and the fact that you did 44 miles, you said?
Yeah.
Do you know this? If you draw a line with a pencil, how long do you think that line will go? Like if you just draw a line. With a pencil until you run out of lead.
Until I run out?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I don't know. This is a fun question, though. are we talking like distance?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's 35 miles. Like, there's no reason to know that. But isn't that crazy?
Why do you know it?
Because I read dumb trivia all the time.
Yes, you do. Yeah. All right. But that's, you
but
know
I was thinking
what?
About, I wonder, what is the number? Like, I think it's 30. So, but you rode longer than a pencil.
Okay.
So you've got that.
There
that could
we
be
go.
A new story.
Here.
I rode about 10 miles longer than a pencil, than a number two pencil.
It was the longest bike ride I had ever ridden. So that was important, but it was also the most uncomfortable bike ride I'd
You know,
ever
here's
had.
An interesting question. about that, because I rode the STP twice at Seattle to Portland. The first time I rode STP, my body was in
200 miles,
terrific
FYI.
Shape. My body was in incredible shape, but my brain was not. I did not know how far things were. I did not know where the hills were. I did not know what the length, I didn't know how long it took to ride 100. Like, I didn't know. And I was distressed quite a bit. Then 2 years later, I rode it again. And my body was not in great shape, but my brain knew exactly what to expect. It posed this question for me, like, which one would you rather have ready to go, your mind or your body?
So it's different for every athlete. For me, it's my brain. Mm-hmm. My brain is always going to fail. Yeah. I'm so much stronger than what I know I am capable of. And I think most people's bodies are stronger than what they're capable of, what they know they're capable of. So I would rather have my brain be tuned up than my body.
Anyway, I think it's an interesting question.
Yeah. Okay, guys, I think I'm really starting to nail down my word for the year. How do we feel about purge? I am simplifying my life and bringing back intention to even the smallest moments. And the first thing to go are all of those forgotten subscriptions that are silently draining my bank account. Did you know that over 80% of people have subscriptions that they have forgotten about? Well, not me and not this year. Rocket Money, formerly known as Truebill, is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills all in one place. Over 3 million people have used Rocket Money, saving the average person up to $720 a year. Simplify, purge, and save. Stop throwing your money away, cancel unwanted subscriptions, and manage your expenses the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/marriagetherapy. That's rocketmoney.com/marriagetherapy.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Frame. Mother's Day is almost here. What are you getting her? Something that shows you care. Something that makes her feel loved. Something that won't stress you out. Something like the Skylight Frame. The Skylight Frame is the perfect gift. It's a touchscreen photo frame your whole family can upload photos to, from wherever they are in the world. It's a way to share with her all the moments that matter. It sets up in seconds. You can even make sure that it's already loaded with photos when your mom opens her Mother's Day gift. And her Skylight Frame can hold thousands of the treasured photos you share. It's an easy, heartfelt way for mom to stay connected with those who matter most. It really is the perfect gift. Now, as a special Mother's Day offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightframe.com/easy.
Okay, so it's the end of the year. We have a fat mailbox. Like, we have incoming questions. We've narrowed it down to three that feel, weighty enough that maybe we have something to say.
We're saving the sex questions for our sexpert that's coming.
Well, we
on.
Saved them.
We saved them.
It's in the past.
That's right. Whatever. The timing
it's a weird
of when
time
these come
is
out
so
when
weird.
We're recording. Anyway.
We're just going to tackle some mailbox questions and mailbag questions, and then wish you a happy new year, and then we'll lean into next year with some new stuff. Zach and Laura back at it in 2023.
The podcast that just doesn't quit.
Seriously.
It wants to die, but it's not going to.
It doesn't want to die. It's having fun. Asked us a question.
Oh, you're going to name him?
Don't we? Doesn't your email say, hey, by the way?
Yeah. I tell him we're going to keep it anonymous. We won't say their name.
Okay.
So just say from an anonymous.
Ready?
Yeah.
So, first question is from a guy who
is
a longtime listener, first time caller. And he wants to know about how to manage a condition in his marriage that I'm seeing a lot more. And it's basically ADHD. It's the impact of ADHD on a relationship. We talked to a guy, his name's Ari Tuckman. We talked to him maybe a year ago.
Episode 98, to go back and listen for all of you. And he has a book
about
ADHD After Dark.
What do you know? What do you know about ADHD? Do you have ADHD?
No, thank you for asking.
Yeah.
Do you think I do?
You're welcome.
I don't.
I mean, I think we all have attention deficit. I think that's real. And I think part of that is being exploited by the fact that we live in a world right now that wants us to consume information in, you know, bite-sized chunks without really diving deep into anything. I think that's different.
100%.
I think that's different than ADHD.
Right. Like nature versus nurture there.
Yeah.
Like to me, what you were just describing is we have this environment that is nurturing us into an ADHD brain or an inability to focus and dive deep.
I think what's shifting is there's a conversation around attention deficit disorder that is emerging and normalizing and making it more public and more acceptable, that it used to just be, you're kind of annoying or you're kind of forgetful or you're kind of like, come on, man, pull it together. And now all of that has a name and a diagnosis and, you know, treatment process. And yet it still wreaks havoc on the relationship. And so
totally,
I guess I'm wondering what your thoughts are. I might have a few, because when that is true, that there's a diagnosis that's wreaking havoc on the relationship, it does call for a different style of, I think, being in a couplehood.
Yeah. The first thing that comes to mind is when you recognize that something inside of you is impacting your partner or your relationship in a negative way, it needs to be addressed. You cannot ignore it. So the fact that he is saying, here's this thing, and I don't know if he was recently diagnosed, but here's this thing, it's impacting my wife. My wife is saying this is really frustrating. Then cool. That's a really great thing to start with, is talking about what is it that we're actually talking about.
The heart of his question is, do you have any suggestions on how to handle myself better? And you know, to your point, I think the first thing is to learn as much as you can about ADHD. And you don't even have to be, it doesn't have to be clinical. There are, I know for a fact there are entire corners of TikTok, for example, that are dedicated to educating and helping people manage ADHD. Like there are entire corners of TikTok dedicated to everything. But like, if you were like, hey, I don't know what to do, there are tons of people out there who are providing context and education and tools. Part of that will normalize your experience, but also anytime you get smarter about what's going on, you're more equipped to handle it.
I think as the partner, if my husband came to me and said, I'm pretty sure I have ADHD, or I'm pretty sure I'm depressed, or I'm pretty sure I have some childhood trauma that I haven't worked through, I'm going to read the books. I'm going to see a therapist. I'm going to listen to the podcast. I'm going to subscribe to these people on Instagram. I'm going to immerse myself in understanding what that is for me. Or I have diabetes. I need to understand how this is impacting my life.
Cancer, alcoholism, glaucoma, doesn't matter. Yeah.
Anything. I would, as his partner, go, hell yeah, that is so awesome. Mm-hmm. The frustrating part that I hear so many people come into my office with is, my partner's really struggling and I'm the only one talking about it and I'm the only one seeing it and they're doing nothing about it. That to me is step number one. The biggest flag to fly, spend your energy doing, is dive into your own self and how to manage it.
I love it. Yeah. And I would say step number two is for couples that are listening or for couples that are struggling with external pressure on the relationship, is to commit somehow to uniting against the diagnosis. I think that is really critical, because if it's, hey man, go get your ADHD under control and then come back and we can talk, that's really different than, hey, what systems do we need to put in place to manage some of this, you know, the symptoms of this thing, you know, which you would do if it was cancer. Hey, we're going to change our menu. Hey, we're going to change our, you know, sleep patterns. Hey, we're going to change our, you know, commitment to getting into the hospital from time to time, you know?
And you would do it if your partner came to you and said, I have a troubled relationship with alcohol. I'm going to go to the program. I'm going to do the steps. I'm going to read the books. I'm going to do all of this. And then they come back home and you're not going to be serving, you know, wine at dinner. You're not going to have open bottles of vodka in your fridge. Like, you would change the system in the household to be able to help your partner adjust to life as they're managing.
Yeah, you might. I mean, there's definitely an emotional toll that these kinds of things take, but solve the solvable problems. Mm-hmm. Take care of the things that you can take care of so that you have bandwidth to do the emotional part. I mean, honestly, even if your partner had arthritis, you know, degenerative severe arthritis in your knees and your bedroom was upstairs. Like that would take a toll on the relationship, but we can solve the solvable problems. We can say, no, we're going to sleep downstairs for a while, or, oh, we're going to
converting the living room into a bedroom.
We're going to do wax baths or something. Like, so I'm not proposing that it's not a big deal, but
is that a thing?
It's more like for your fingers. I don't think you would get into a bath of wax, but you would put your fingers in a wax bath that would soothe your fingers, you know?
Yeah. Have you ever done that? I know you like love a good pedicure. Have you done the wax
pedicure?
I know we've done them together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got one right now. You want to see it?
Chair. Yeah. What color did you do?
What color do you think?
Clear.
Nope.
You did clear the last time we were together. Hold on. Green. You guys, green and red. They look like. Oh my God. I love our friendship. Oh man. That's awesome.
It's
you
Christmas.
Have beautiful toes it's right Christmas. Now.
I did it specifically to drive my girls crazy. Cause I'm not barefoot anywhere, but in my house. So my girls are like, that is so awful. It is so awful, Dad. It's so terrible. I'm like, okay, well, have a holly jolly.
Okay. So
which was last week, of course.
Right. No.
Okay. December, so I hope that's helpful to you.
I have a question. Okay. Are you asking, cause you said come together, work as a team to protect the relationship against this thing that is working to cause stress or wreak havoc on the relationship. Mm-hmm. Does that mean that you would say to this gentleman, I think it's really important that your wife do her own research and pick up a book or watch the podcast or listen? Is it her responsibility to educate herself on his diagnosis, his thing, or is it his job to say, hey, I want to share some things that I know about myself and what I've learned about myself?
I like Who's that burdened? Question because I like questions that I don't know the answer to. It's making me think.
Yeah.
I don't like the way you phrased the question. So that's a part of it, which is no, it's not his job to say to her, this is your job. I don't think that's exactly what you said, but I was like, ooh, I don't like that part. But I do think like for her, what I would offer is, yeah, man, you guys need to learn as much as you can about how ADHD affects a relationship and the role that each of you is going to end up playing. Cause people have done this before. You're not alone. Mm-hmm. Like this is not brand new territory so there is information and there are resources out there. I do remember that Ari Tuchman said he was actually not ambivalent about it at all. He said, medication is a big deal. Like, the lowest hanging fruit is to manage
medicated.
Through medication, you know,
yeah.
because of the way the brain works. And again, people are like, oh, I don't want to take meds. I'm like, if you had arthritis, you would.
Yeah.
Like,
yep.
You would take, get it. You know, so.
If you had high blood pressure, you
like,
would.
Oh, I don't want to take medication for my high blood pressure.
Do.
Nobody says that.
Mm.
Actually, it's not true. Everybody says that. John, John has this one statistic about how people notoriously do not take the medication that they should take to help them.
Yeah.
Anyway.
The statistic is that you are more likely and more consistent to give your pet medication than you are to take your own medication. Forget where I read that, but
I believe it though. People are crazy about their pets.
Okay. So here's how I feel about it.
Okay.
And it has to do with how you phrased it.
Okay.
Is that it is not this gentleman, Chad, that I'm naming him. Mm-hmm. Chad and Karen are going to be our go-to names of callers.
In 2022, we're changing their names in 2023. I'm tired of Karen and Chad.
Chad and Karen. Yeah. Okay. So Chad, yes, you are the one that has been diagnosed with ADHD, but like you said, Zach, it is something that you're protecting your relationship from. So it's externalizing it from something that is inside of you. Mm-hmm. Great that you are doing everything you can to manage your symptoms, to learn about it, whatever it might be. But it is also this third entity in the relationship. And therefore, I think that his wife also should be responsible for learning as much as she can about being the partner of someone who has ADHD or where ADHD is a part of the relationship.
Totally.
Just like it could be depression. Yes, your partner may be depressed, but you are also in relationship and it's impacting your relationship that you have 100% responsibility for, meaning that you also need to educate yourself on how to manage those symptoms so that it doesn't collapse the relationship. How do you put up healthy boundaries around the relationship so it does not permeate?
Yeah. I mean, it's a great question. I mean, because you're in a relationship, the disease is a disease that the relationship has.
Right.
So
exactly. Boom. I think we did a good job answering that one.
Oh, yeah, yes.
Yeah, yes. I am on a quest to get my ducks in order this year. I have a mile-long list of miscellaneous tasks that need my attention, and I am vowing to finally purge those closets, finish the taxes, and get started on our house remodel. One task that I can check off in less than 10 minutes and clear my conscience is to finally secure my term life insurance policy through Fabric by Gerber Life. We all said that we would get a policy once we started a family, and here we are, 7 years later. Well, no more. It takes less than 10 minutes to apply, see your quote, and then personalize your quote to your family's needs. You could be offered coverage instantly with no health exam required. And while you're at it, you can use Fabric to establish a will, college savings fund, and many other tools to support and protect your family's financial future. Protect your family today with Fabric by Gerber Life. Apply today in just 10 minutes at meetfabric.com/MTR. That's meetfabric, M-E-E-T, fabric.com/MTR.
Next question is from Karen, who
can't stop thinking about your toenails right now. I'm just saying.
Really struggling. Again, okay. There's another situation where there's a lot of external stress. A lot of it is based around fertility, or cancer, or, but there's just a lot of trauma. There's trauma and loss. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I think that, again, is a massive thing that I'm seeing a lot more. I think because people are having permission to talk about it. People have permission to talk about trauma and loss in ways that they have not had in, say, generations past, for sure. And maybe in years past, based on the fact that we all went through this giant collective trauma called, you know, pandemic, shutdown, whatever it is, and made us look mm-hmm. inward and stuff. So I guess for me, it becomes, if there's a question, there's not really a direct question. It's like, what am I supposed to do?
Right.
Which I think kind of is the right question. How do you help people manage trauma and loss and grief while trying to maintain sanity in a relationship? I just asked Karen's question.
Okay.
What do you think?
For her.
Yeah.
The first thing that comes to mind, and I don't think in her question, she mentioned anything about trauma and she didn't mention anything around grief, but those were the words that we labeled her experiences of what she's been going through, what her relationship has gone through is trauma and grief.
Yep.
And my gut instinct
yeah, certainly
was,
trauma. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think she even said, we've gone to therapy and it didn't work, which was like, I was like, well, mm-hmm. okay, let's talk about that question. Mm-hmm. We went to therapy and it didn't mm-hmm. work. Did you go, well, we makes me think you went to couples therapy. And the first thing that I was imagining was, wow, it's really hard to do couples therapy when you are struggling with your own personal journey mm-hmm. of grief and loss and trauma. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes couples will come to me and they will say, they'll lay everything out on the table and say, this happened in our lives. This happened in our lives. This happened in our lives. I'm here. He's there. We're in all these different experiences. And I would probably say, to me, it sounds like a journey that you need to process individually.
Hmm.
That I know that the goal is we want to come together in a deeper relationship, in a deeper partnership. We want to fix our relationship. But I'm also thinking to myself, to me, grief is such an individual journey that you're going on. It's a really challenging thing to try and do with another individual mm-hmm. if you are on your own journey mm-hmm. at your own pace in your own valley. Mm. Maybe that's a time for you to spend some time by yourself working through your own grief and trauma.
Yeah, of course, that's a great idea. I mean, I think we relationships go better, period, when functional adults show up to do the work. Mm. And so if grief or trauma is in the way, that can be problematic. The thing about grief is there are stages of grief that Elizabeth Kubler-Ross outlined. Generally, the last stage is acceptance. And historically, those stages have been understood to be linear. And I think what we're realizing more and more is that they're not. Mm-hmm. There's bargaining, there's denial, there's anger, there's depression. And mm-hmm. there's not a straight line through those things. I think you can bounce around. I think sending an email like that we got is a version of bargaining. It's like, what can I do? How does this work? And what's the thing? Like, I'll mm-hmm. trade, you know? And I think part of what we have to figure out how to do is to allow those things to be alive and to breathe And then to get to the part where you sort of own and accept, this is the life that I have. This is what I've got to work with. And now I'm going to do that work. But yeah, it's unpredictable and it's jarring, I think, which is why, you know, doing the individual work that you're describing is really important. I know that personally, I have found a lot of comfort in learning how to meditate. And I would say I've actually, I am actually learning how to meditate. I don't tell people, oh, I meditate, or I think you should try meditating. I say you should learn how to do it. Because what that process is it's really about being at home. And I was about to say at peace, but it's being at home with all of the conflicting sensations that you have, and then trying to make sense of that in a way that that your body can contain. Trauma is embodied. And so it's really important to get back in touch with your body, and the kind of the core of meditation is about breath, of course.
Yeah.
But so I don't know, there's a lot of, like, I don't know, sort of cloudy answers, but I think the heart of it is the same, which is kind of even the same as the last question, which is get to know as much as you can about trauma and grief. So that when you look at the portfolio of your life and you see all these struggles around fertility and around, you know, mental health and around cancer is on the list, like, you can have a space to work from confidently.
Okay, I have another
more
thought.
More confidently.
Which is, I imagine couples constantly feeling the frustration of, we're not hitting the mark, we don't feel close and connected, we haven't been able to have sex, we haven't had any time alone together, the time that we do have is spent fretting and concerning about all of these other things. And I'm imagining that they have this direction that they plotted years ago before the trauma and the grief hit them.
That's,
and that they're
point.
Still setting their sights on, this is what we intended for, this is what we always had in our sights, and constantly feeling like they're falling short or they're just getting further and further away from where they intended. And I think reorienting yourself to where the new goal needs to be is like, hey, we're in a season. And I will oftentimes have couples do that several times a year. It's like, you're in a season, which means that we need to figure out what's the new goal. If you get injured, you, like, as an athlete, you get injured, it's like, okay, what's the new goal? You're not going to do a 100-mile bike ride. So what is the new goal?
Yeah.
And how do you reorient yourself? So that would be kind of a question that I would have, is, given the circumstances of the season of life that you're in right now, what are the two of you aiming for that feels like you can succeed and you can celebrate
today,
the joys and the wins today?
Yeah. Or this week.
Yeah.
But not forever.
Okay. All right, number three.
Crushing it. All right. hope that was helpful, Karen. And then, this last email's pretty intense. There's a lot going on. And I love kind of how it starts, which is, I'm currently in therapy. And after 7 weeks, I told my therapist, I've had enough talking about my relationship. I want to get into the grit and grime of why I react and respond the way I do. And how do I correct my behavior? And I'll just say straight up, like, that is exactly the best use of individual therapy. Don't go to individual therapy to work on your relationship. Go to individual therapy to work on you. And then let's hope that the relationship responds. That said, there's a lot going on in this relationship that feels out of control for him. It's a he that's writing.
It's Chad.
It's Chad that's writing. So yeah, there are some things that I'm interested in kind of exploring, particularly around some of the, like I said, the low hanging fruit.
Was there a question in there?
The question is, how do I gently and genuinely start communicating while not having her harsh responses activate my natural instinct to shut down when I'm trying to connect and communicate? So he's trying to deal with her, sort of her harshness. And she does appear in this description to be kind of a, what we would call a leaning out partner. She's got relationships that are, that he's not connected to. She's got friends that aren't supportive of the marriage. She's actually indicating perhaps that she wants a divorce. So he's in a tough spot. Because
This is a tough one. Well, it sort of reminds me of, man, and I can't remember who wrote it. It might be Michelle Wiener Davis. is talking about the leaning out partner, the leaning in partner. Okay. And what do you do? So if he's the leaning in partner, he's saying, I want to fix this. I'll do whatever it takes to make this relationship work. Mm-hmm. The leaning out partner often is unmotivated, is just kind of hanging out on the fence, but not really digging in. And I will tell you that most of the time, leaning out partners get to that place because they poured everything they possibly could into the relationship and they're tapped.
Yeah.
They are done. I have a lot of empathy for leaning out partners, even though it's really hard when you have mixed agenda partners walk into your office. So with the leaning out partner.
I love that, by the way. I think that's like that. I'm going to think about that a lot.
What piece?
The part about having empathy for leaning out partners. I tend to be more direct with them. I'm like, you got to figure it out, or not figure it out, but I go, you know, you're holding the cards here. But I think maybe that's even advice for him. Does he need to generate empathy for the work that she has done prior to the fruitless work that she believes that she has done prior to him generating this email or him going to therapy? You know,
wouldn't that be such an incredible shift where he's like, I'll do anything. I'll go to therapy. I'll do more chores around the house. I'll be more engaged with the kids. I will, you know, like put my phone down during dinner. I will lean in, I'll initiate sex, I'll do all these things. And he knows the things. By the way, now we're making up stories about who this Chad is, because now we're talking about leaning in, leaning out. But the truth is
pretty close,
generally, right? Oh, really? Yeah. Okay. Pretty close that if he was to instead stop focusing on her, what can I do to shift her or help her move in? Because that's generally what they want to do, is I want my partner in. What can I do to convince my partner to lean in? I think it's Michelle Wiener Davis that says, stop chasing. The chase is what's going to push them over the edge. Instead, turn your attention and focus on yourself.
Well, to his credit, that's the top of his email,
exactly,
right?
Exactly, like, what he's doing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So do more of that. But also, I think we landed on something really important, which is, how do you empathize with her experience that got her to the place leaning out? And how do you also validate her experience? Like, it makes sense to me why you're leaning out. And now there's compassion and softness, which I think is, you know, the push pull that you get of what we call like the distancer.
Pursuer-distancer pattern.
Yeah, the pursuer-distancer pattern is when you stop pursuing, they stop distancing. And by stopping the pursuit, it's pursue yourself instead, Chad, which luckily you've already tapped into. Yeah.
And I think fundamentally there are still boundaries that you want in place, particularly if there are boundaries around, I'm trying to find the right word. It's not fidelity and it's not faithfulness, but it is like tolerable safety, you know, like, particularly if he needs to create space for her, but she's using that space to go be with people who don't support the marriage, or to flirt with other people, or to, you know, even talk to her lawyer. You know, what is the agreement that they can make so that she can, so that they can understand they're doing the same thing, you know? Maybe she needs the permission to say, between now and the end of January, I'm kind of figuring out what's up. And that means I'm not accountable to you. But then on February 1, and February is the new January, on February 1, we sit down, we revisit. We kind of revisit the contract, or revisit terms.
I love that you're talking about, what is the word that you used? Something boundary or
tolerable safety, I think I said.
Tolerable safety. I was like, wow, I think you need to put that in your book, or, you know, whatever, how, maybe we need to revisit this on another podcast, but it is
it's
important.
Literally the first time I've ever said that phrase. So I don't know if
I know. I just needed you to know that it was gold. Oh, it was a golden nugget. And I think we need to tease it out more, but the leaning in partner would do just about anything. And I see this a lot with affairs too, of the partner who, how do we say that? If you're not,
there's a harmed partner and the involved partner.
Involved partner. Thank you. If the involved partner is leaning into the relationship, I want to do everything I can to rebuild trust. I want you to, oftentimes they don't say, I want you to forgive me. They want to be forgiven, right? They want to move past this. They want to rebuild the relationship. They will just about do anything. And at the same time, you still need to hold boundaries that are acceptable in the relationship. Mm-hmm. Like, your partner doesn't get to go out and have, let's just say, non-consensual sex with another person to hurt you in this period of trying to heal and understand where the relationship is. There needs to be some boundaries in place and talk about that.
Yeah. I mean, unless they get to, I guess maybe consensual is the word that you're keying on. But if that's part of the deal, that's part of the deal. But I think it should be by agreement for sure.
Yeah. I don't know where I went with that last idea, but
it's all right.
Yeah.
It's all food for thought as we reflect on the year behind us and anticipate the year in front of us.
Yeah.
I'm grateful for, 2022, and I'm looking forward to 2023, and I'm looking forward to finding out what your word's going to be.
I want to know what our listener's word is going to be. I know. Yeah. So I don't know when this is coming out, but I have almost a whole month to think about what 2023 is going to be.
This is December 27.
Oh, that's when this episode's coming out, the 27th of December. Neato.
Yeah. So how about this? It comes out on the 27th. Shoot us your words and we'll start 2023 with a conversation around how to lean into themes and words whatever else. Because I think there could be lots of lots more food for thought there.
Okay. All right. I have to share this thought before we go because I feel like I'll forget it by December 27th.
Okay.
I was talking to my mother-in-law, Judy Heck, just needed her to be in the episode one more time. I said, I really need to develop a bucket list. That feels really important to me to give some direction. And I was explaining to her some of my bucket list items, and she was really pushing back, love her to pieces because she's such a thoughtful woman. And she was asking me, do you really think that you need to go to Japan to explore and discover and blah, blah, blah. And she was sort of teasing away what I was putting as the main event, which is going to Japan. Mm-hmm. And she was like, what are you chasing? Mm-hmm. What is the actual experience that you're wanting to get out of that? And I thought that was such an interesting thought process that we could go through in maybe teasing out like, well, what do I want? If I finished out 2023, and I said, damn, that was a great year. Mm-hmm. I really crushed it. What are the things that you did or experiences you had or relationships you developed that you look back on and you say, wow, you really crushed it. And then teasing that even further is like, okay, well, I had the experience of, let's say, going and golfing in Scotland. Okay. Well, what was the value underneath that? Or why did you enjoy that so much? Was it that you're pushing yourself or excelling or experiencing something that was really challenging for you? Was it, you know, whatever it might be. And I'll tell you, looking back on 2022, the year of competition, for me, it all came down to discipline. Mm-hmm. Do I have the discipline to compete in these experiences? And so discipline probably should have been my word, but I chose competition. Okay. But I'm going to refine for 2023 and we're going to get something even better.
Yeah. We've talked about the difference between some people who train to race and some people who race to train. Like you chose competition, which I would say is a race. And what you got was training.
Yeah.
You got discipline.
I raced to train.
Yeah.
And the training is the best part. I don't care about the races.
Yeah.
Apparently not. I really enjoy.
You bail after just 40 miles.
Stick. Okay.
Just opt out because I can't handle it anymore. I'm just kidding.
My soft tissue is Stancy Bear.
All right. Happy New Year, everybody. We will see you in 2023 and I appreciate you hanging out with us this year and we'll talk to you soon. After Laura says land this plane.
Yeah, let's land this plane.
Bye.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Marriage Therapy Radio. We really do want to hear and compile your word for 2023. Send it to us. Either you can hit up the Instagram and Zach will compile that, or you can send an email to me. It's info@marriagetherapyradio.com. I think our Instagram is Marriage Therapy Radio. Can't wait to see what all of you are focusing and setting your intentions on in 2023. Thanks for all of your time and attention, making your relationship better today than it was yesterday.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now.
The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's skylightcal.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.